Maybe it'll be better.
Okay, all right. You shouldn't have to laugh at that.
You said it, not me.
Right after my mail.
We have what?
Yeah, Advent Jesus.
So right after.
Good morning, everyone. It is great. You see how I did that? I had it so well with that, and then I touched it, and it ruined it. All right. It is great to see you guys again and to be back with you this morning. We got some announcements to share with you guys. First of all, it is beautiful outside, even though it's cold. That little bit of white stuff out there doesn't look too bad today. It is a beautiful day. And I'm excited about a special gift that we have as a church for you guys that I'll announce at the end of service, and you will see what you need to do to obtain that gift and make that part of your digital life here in your near future. And also, David Keller wanted me to remind you that offering envelopes are out there on the table in the narthex. Make sure you grab the number that you used to have. It'll make it easier on him because he's old and a little slow, and switching over numbers is kind of tough sometimes. Also, if you are interested in getting involved with the men's group, please see Ron Rasmussen. He's back there in the corner. Morning, Ron. And also, just for your information, Toys for Tots invades the building starting tonight, getting set up for their distribution next weekend. This place is going to become a zoo really quick, so stay away because you don't want to get in the middle of that. There are thousands of gifts downstairs packed away and getting unpacked and sorted and situated. So it's going to be exciting to see them do that and that I don't have to do that. So that's good. All right. So that's the thing, the announcements that I have for you this week. So we want you to be aware of those things and how they will impact you in the next few days. Okay, let's go before the Lord in prayer, and then we have the Ricketts coming up to take care of the Advent reading for us this morning. Father God, we thank you so much for being in your house today and to being able to worship. After getting a little COVID vacation and being forced away, it is good to be back in the house of the Lord, to worship and to enjoy one another's company and presence, to sing together and to just enjoy life as a body of believers known as the church. We thank you so much for all that you've done and provided for us. We thank you for the fact that you walk with us in these days. We thank you for all that we get excited about and are reminded of as we walk through Advent and walk towards the birth of the Savior. May we be ever mindful of the fact that your love for us brings us joy and peace and hope and love and the light of the world. And his name is Jesus. And we thank you and we praise you. In the wonderful name of Jesus, all God's people said, amen. John and Angie, please come.
From a human perspective, this whole situation must have seemed absolutely crazy to Mary and Joseph. Not only was Mary expecting the baby who would save the world, but now she and Joseph had to travel to Bethlehem for the census. When they arrive, there's no room for them to stay except in the place where they keep the animals. As hectic as this might have seemed, this is exactly how God wanted Jesus to enter the world. Right from the start, God wanted to have a relationship with us. Even when we messed that up with our sin, God continued to love and make a way to rescue us. Jesus is proof that God loves us unconditionally. We need to ask ourselves, what are we giving others this Christmas? How does it make you feel knowing God loves you so much? And how can we show God's love to others? Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for showing your love by sending Jesus. You kept your promise to send a Savior, and you sent him at just the right time. Help us to always remember how much you love us, so much that you sent your own Son to rescue us. And help us remember the true meaning of Christmas as we celebrate with our family and friends. We love you, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
You are God who saves us. To the least of all of us, you became as one of us. In the grief and brokenness, you suffered by our side. From the grave unto the cross, rising up victorious, the Messiah Jesus. Hallelujah. death could not hold you, built all before you, the silence of ghosts, the sand and rain, the heavens of glory, the rings of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no right.
Where two or three are gathered together, under the name of Jesus, He is there with them. And that is an incredible gift and privilege that we have as His people. That this King of Kings and Lord of Lords leans over the edge of heaven and listens to His people and looks for each one of us in our time of need, and He does so much for us that we ask Him to do, and He does so much more for us than we even realize He does, because He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords forever, and He is ours, and we are His. Let's pray. Oh, Jesus, thank You. Thank You, thank You, that we can gather together as Your people and worship You and adore You. And even sometimes just stroll in and just kind of be here. Lord, we take You for granted so much. And I just pray that today we would be reminded of Your incredible love for us, that You didn't want heaven without us, so You came down so that we could be with You forever. And Lord, that our lives would be surrendered to You in a way this day that has never been before. That we would trust You in whatever circumstance You lead us into. And may we have the faith of a child, the faith of a young girl named Mary, to say, may it be as to me as You have said. In other words, may Your will be done in my life as You desire. And in so doing, may we walk in faith and peace and hope in the presence of Your love forevermore. And it's in the wonderful name of Jesus we are able to pray, and all God's people said, amen. You know, it's great to be back up here, instead of watching online like last week. That was tough. It is a tough thing to watch this pulpit from afar, and other people standing in it when I'm supposed to be up here. And unfortunately, quarantine gave me an extra Sunday off I wasn't anticipating. But I had this message done and ready, and I wanted to remind us of the great joy and love to the world that we receive through Jesus Christ that it seems like the world could really use right now. That the world that we live in is so out of control and crazy and falling apart and drawing up lines in the sand. We really need to be able to take the joy and the love of Jesus Christ to a lost world that's getting more and more lost, that's getting darker and more divided, because we are supposed to be the ones that take the light of Jesus Christ into the world, because we have found truth and love and the way in Him. And this week of Advent, we're celebrating the fact that Jesus Christ has brought joy and love into this world for all of us to find. We can see that now, this side of His birth, but on the onset of the miraculous birth of Jesus Christ, it was less than a joy-filled moment for Mary. It was a moment in time that changed her life and the world forever, but it was a tenuous moment at best. In Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38, it says this: "In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings to you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled over his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, you have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end.' 'How will this be?' Mary asked the angel, 'since I'm a virgin.' The angel answered, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God.' And Mary answered, 'I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said.' And the angel left her." How crazy would that be if you were Mary this morning? I mean, just think about it. The old Immaculate Conception story, right? There was no storyline like that before this moment. There were some really cool stories and some promises, like when God promised Abraham and Sarah, and when God promised to Zechariah and Elizabeth, those things happened, but those happened naturally. He said, "I know you're old, but we're going to help you out with that. Don't worry, we got this. You go do your thing, and I'll take care of the rest." But this is totally different, because here this unmarried virgin is told that she's going to bring into the world its Savior. And we look back at this story, and we look back at this moment, and we get excited about the rest of the story to come. We start jumping ahead to Jesus. We start jumping ahead to things coming ahead about how Jesus is going to save the world, and He's ours, and it's so good. And we know the rest of the story, but that moment, Mary was a little more than nervous. You see, this was back in the day when the marriage bed was to be honored, and to fail to do so meant that you could be killed, disowned, dishonored, and lost to a world that became darker and darker. And it's incredible to think that in this moment in time, God looked and saw this young virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph and picked her out in that moment in time to bring his son into the world. Mary must have been an amazing young woman, because in Luke chapter 1, verse 28, it says, "The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord's with you.'" You sit there and you think about those words. Could God say that about you this morning? Not the aspect of bringing the Savior into the world, but I mean, have you lived in such a way just this morning as you brought honor to God that you've caught His eye? Because your life has been a testimony just in the last 6 hours. How about in the last 6 months or 6 years or 60 years? Here's this young teenage girl, and she's been living her life for God as she's been taught by her family and by her community and by her synagogue to live for Him. And she is doing exceedingly well, better than anybody else at that time. And I bring to our attention that since God chose this girl at that moment in time and did not choose us in this moment in time, chances are that we aren't as highly favored as she would be as far as reputation would be. How many of y'all are just plain old sinners saved by the love and grace of God like me? That's us. You know, she was highly favored and she lived an honorable life before God, and the Lord walked with her. That is true. And some of the things that we got to remember is, I don't want to put her on too tall of a pedestal like a lot of people do, because she still needed her son to save her. But I don't want to put her on a low pedestal either, saying she's just like everybody else, because obviously since God did choose her and didn't choose one of us to do this great, great work, one of the great things is that she was very special, but not as incredible and as special as the child she'd bring into this world. And just at the right moment in history, He began to write again the future of all mankind after being silent for 399 years and 6 months. Because God did speak into the world 6 months prior to that when He told Zechariah that your wife was going to bear you a son and his name will be John. But what's interesting is in this moment in time, this young woman that Gabriel went to and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored, the Lord is with you." He could see that Mary was starting to grasp the enormity of the situation, and he sees her getting a little bit nervous, because in Luke 1:29-30 it says, "Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting might this be. And the angel said to her, 'Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God.'" Again, remember, God had been silent for over 400 years. Nothing, no prophecies, no wonderful things happened. He didn't have to part any seas. He didn't do anything. Matter of fact, He allowed them to move into and live into slavery under Roman control. But in this moment when they didn't have social media, and Mary may have known what happened to Zechariah and Elizabeth, that there was a baby coming. Zechariah was pretty quiet at this moment because he didn't get to speak a word for another 3-4 months yet that about how all that took place, that Gabriel had said, "You're going to have a son, but since you don't believe me, you don't get to talk until he's born." But Gabriel filled Mary in on the whole situation. In Luke 1:36-37, it says, "Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she was said to be barren, is now in her 6th month, because nothing is impossible with God." And you know what's awesome about that is, I don't know what you're facing right now, but nothing is impossible with God. I don't know what odds you're facing, but nothing's impossible with God. I don't know what sin has you strangleholded right now, chained down and held back, but God wants to deliver you, and there is nothing impossible with God. There are people in this room who have been told that you're terminal and there's no hope for you. But let me tell you something. Nothing is impossible with God. Because guess what? One of the beautiful things that is true . See that window? In that corner over there? Because of that baby being born to us, nothing is impossible with God. But still, when someone tells you you don't have to be afraid, it's probably because you're going to have a good reason to choose to be afraid. It's kind of like when you go to the doctor and you get a blood draw and the nurse says, "Don't worry, honey, it's going to be okay. It's just going to be a little poke." You know what? She's lying. There is no little poke. That is a 40-gauge straw from Arby's she's sticking in that vein, and it's going to hurt. "Don't worry, honey, it's just going to be a little poke." I always ask for the best vampire that they've got at the blood draws. But when Gabriel said, "You don't have to be afraid," he meant it. It's probably tough when you realize that everything you hope for is being upended. Everything that you dreamed for was just right, just a little ways ahead of you. I mean, Mary's pledged to be married to Joseph. Everything's good. He's building the house. He's getting everything in order. The day's coming. They got it marked and circled on the calendar. They've got it all set in motion. And then Gabriel shows up and says, no, that's going to happen, but this is going to happen too. Luke chapter 1, 30-33. Angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God, and you're going to be with a child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end." Those words, do you realize what he's saying to her? He's giving her this promise, all these little promises, right? Here, you're going to have a son. You're going to name him Jesus. He's going to reign on his father David's throne. It's going to be this way, and he's going to rule forever. And when will that? When will that be important? Every word spoken was important. And not just in that moment, but at the cross, when she's watching her son die, "You said forever." God says, "3 days, you'll understand. Right now, you're not going to get." Give me 3 days. But man, I tell you what, could you imagine hearing that? In Luke chapter 1, verse 34, Mary says, "How will this be since I'm a virgin?" Obviously, that's the politically correct way to speak to an angel of the Lord. "Sir, how will this be?" You know? Me, I would have said something. Obviously, when you fell from heaven, you hit your head on a rock or something on the way down. You want to run that by me again? What? So Gabriel brings in some more reassurance for 35-37. It says, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her 6th month. And remember, nothing's impossible with God." You know, one of my favorite songs, that Kenny Chesney song, starts playing in the background, and he starts leading the choir of angels. "Everything's going to be all right, all right, all right." Some of you know Matthew McConaughey. He jumps in and says, "All right, all right, all right." That's for the gals in the cry room over there. But Mary, caught up in that moment, says what only Mary could say. "I'm the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." If it was me, I'd have been like, "Why me?" Well, he already explained that. Again, why me? I mean, seriously, why are you ruining my life? How is this going to take place? But instead, she simply just loved and trusted and obeyed God. She didn't run off in fear. She didn't run away scared. She didn't say, no, not me. I'm not good enough. I'm not this. I'm not that. But as Gabriel looks her in the eye, she says, "Okay." She was willing to risk it all and go where God was leading her to go and do what he was asking her to do. And that was part of her heart. That's why God chose her for such an important task. And you know, God doesn't force himself upon us and his will upon us, but he extends it to us and says, "Will you follow me?" Right? Every time you turn around, you see Jesus walking up and say, "Will you follow me? Will you follow me?" To the rich young ruler, he says, "Listen, everything you've got's nothing, man. Get rid of it all. Give all the way to the poor. Help some people out. But you, I want you to come follow me, and you will have treasure that you never knew existed." He walked away sad, but so many choose to come to him, just like Mary. Mary chose to walk by faith in what he was going to do, even though it was going to change her life. Did you ever wonder what would have happened if she said no? Where would we be? What if she thought it was some sort of spam or catfishing email? I got one this morning. I opened up my emails and it says, "Congratulations, you are going to receive $100 million in COVID support relief. Just send us your social security number and we'll deposit it in your account." And I'm like, I'm rich. Right? Delete. You know, I'm like, sorry. Sorry, girls. You didn't get no $100 million for you today. Mary didn't delete anything. She just said, okay. It doesn't seem like she hesitated much. It doesn't seem like anything. She couldn't see how it was going to work out, but she had faith enough to trust God that he could work it out because nothing's impossible with him. And this might have been the craziest thing since she heard of Abraham and Sarah being promised a child of God in their old age, or Aunt Elizabeth and Uncle Zechariah being promised a son in their old age, or Gloria and Denny Acey having a grandchild in their old age. You know, it's kind of good. Good morning, kids. But it happened. And she trusted and she walked. Actually, she ran. She ran to check things out for herself. It's okay to check things out a little bit on behalf of God and yourself, because in verse 39 to 45 it says, "At that time Mary got ready, hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice she exclaimed, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. Why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord?'" "She come to me. And as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." You know what's really crazy? As Elizabeth seemed to know some things through the Holy Spirit that morning when they met up, that she shouldn't have known. You ever notice that? How would she know that whole, "You're going to bear my Lord"? Why? how can I be so blessed that you're here? You're going to bear the Lord, the Savior of the world. And you have believed what the Lord has said would be accomplished, that nothing's impossible with him. How would she have known that in that moment? But she did. And then Mary writes a beautiful song of hope and faith and joy in verses 46 through 55. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. And he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down the rulers from their thrones, but he has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent away the rich empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he has said to our fathers, even as he has promised he would. For nothing is impossible with God." And in this song, you can see that she knows she's a nobody and not the world's first choice to bear a king. She was humble. She was mild. She was a child. But she loved God and she honored him. She was not rich and born in a fabulous castle, but she was fitting enough to bear a child in a manger. And she is a child of faith and a true descendant of Abraham. Yes, she was genetically connected back to Abraham, but through faith she was moving forward, and she would not shrink away in fear, but step forward by faith and bear the Son of God, and that would later be the Savior of the world. How many times have you and I been paralyzed with fear of the unknown? Not willing to step forward by faith and walk through a wide open door because we don't know what's on the other side? Let me give you a hint on what's on the other side of those doors. God is there too. And if he's telling you, "Follow me through this door," it's because he's waiting for you on the other side, no matter what you're facing. And you know what? If you are willing, as he talks in Psalm 23, "As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me and you walk me in it, through it, and sometimes out of it." He wants to walk with you just like he walked with Mary. And he promises that in every situation, he will be there for you. And if you look and you see him, you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, nothing's impossible. Because guess what? We have the Savior of the world. And no matter what happens, if this roof collapsed and shards of glass from these stained glass windows impale all of us and we bleed out on the floor, guess what? There's no better place to die than with Jesus. Whether that be in this room or in a hospital bed or on a battlefield. As long as you have Jesus, you've got everything. And like Mary, by faith, you can step forward and say, "Whatever you bring my way, I will face it with you, Lord." And you know, I want you to know that you're going to face struggles and adversity. But if you face it by faith with Jesus, you will receive faith's great reward. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 tells us how he proves whether or not we're like Mary and our faith in him is real. It says this: "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be pure, may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." You know, it's pretty odd. It's pretty strange that the struggles and the trials are necessary to build and to prove our faith. You know, I look around the room and I see the stories in your lives when I preach. Loneliness, death, singleness, sickness, cancer, frail bodies, slipping minds, broken hearts, divorce, bodies that wanted to quit, but spirits that would not. Old age. They say that's a glory and a silver crown, right? Bets made at an altar. Until death do us part. But I get to go first. But you lost, and now you find yourself alone. Grandkids, children, all of it. Jesus says, come, follow me, it's okay. And by faith, like a child, we need to take him by the hand as he offers to take us by the hand and walk. Because when we learn to walk by faith, it allows us to grow in maturity until we reach perfection, which is his promise and his goal for our lives. And we have it better than Mary did because we're on this side of the birth of Jesus. And we can face whatever it is we face with joy, knowing that God is for us and leading us to accomplish whatever he puts in our way. We can have joy, unspeakable joy is ours for consideration and for choosing. Or we can focus on the fear and the problems and the pain and the loneliness and all the rest. But because one young woman chose to trust God by faith and do what he was asking of her, we can do the same. And we can have love, love so amazing and pure, it's like a mother's love for her child. And we also know the love of her husband, Joseph, and who honored her and loved her through it all. But most importantly, we see the love of God who is keeping his promise to love and care for his people by sending them their much-needed Savior. Question for you and I this morning is, are we going to walk by that kind of faith, knowing that it could cost us everything? And knowing we can never lose the one who calls us to walk by faith with him? Or are we going to let fear and doubt and darkness win? See, we light these little candles representing the light of the world given to us. And you know the beautiful thing is? His light will never go out as long as we walk by faith with him. So let's pray. Father God, I think back to 24 years ago when Deanne told me that we were going to have a little snot-nosed kid. And 23 years ago, this January, we had our firstborn. It was something we prayed for, we looked forward to, we were excited about. And then a couple years later, we had another snot-nosed kid. And then we, a couple years later, had another one. And then just 14 months later, we had another one. And it was interesting. And each time we thanked you. And we praised you. And we stepped out by faith and said, okay, Lord. But Lord, I think of Mary and what she was facing in that moment. She was not married. She was a young girl. She was scared. She was fearful. She was faithful. And she was trusting. And those reassuring words, nothing is impossible with God, said to her heart and mind, peace be still, follow me. And she did. Two entirely different stories, but the same. Because all of us, Lord, come before you not knowing what tomorrow will hold or this afternoon, but we do know that we can trust you. And we thank you, Lord, that we can trust you because you were born for us and you died for us and you rose for us and you said, you can come follow me because I am yours and you're mine. And Lord, we thank you and we love you. And it's in the wonderful name of Jesus, our Savior and Lord, we get to pray. And all God's people said, amen. We have a closing song and then I'll get back and I will give you a gift.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child. With the dawn of redeeming. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth.
Hear the good news. Christmas is all about the fact that a Savior has been born unto us. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. That is the greatest gift anyone could receive. He has always been Lord, will always be Lord. He is the way, the truth, and the life, the way through the darkness into the presence of God. That fact remains whether you choose him or not. But he wants you to know that he loves you and wants you to come follow him. And you can do so. So let's pray. Father God, I pray that if there's anyone here today that has not put their faith and their trust in you and found the living hope that comes through knowing you as Jesus Christ, the baby born in the manger, who died on the cross, rose from the dead, and is seated as King of kings and Lord of lords at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. Lord, I pray that this day they might put their faith and trust in you and say, Lord, whatever it is you want of me, by faith, I will walk with you until I see you face to face. Because you are King of kings and Lord of lords, the way, the truth, and the life. And all God's people said, amen. Have a quick seat. I want to explain the gift that we have for you as a church. We have, through an organization called Right Now Media, gotten an opportunity to provide for everyone who so chooses 20,000 plus videos, Bible curriculums, opportunities to grow in your faith that you can share with one another, and it's an incredible platform that you will learn to navigate and use. And this morning you will have received somewhere in your emails, maybe in your spam folder, junk mail, right next to that $1 million one I got. This one is from Right Now Media. You want that one, okay? Pull that one out and grab a hold of that one. You will have received an email if you've signed up with links on what you need to do to sign up and get yourself there and get yourself all processed through. It's not going to cost you anything. It's a free gift to you from the church. Also, out on the board, there is a fancy one of these blocks. See, John knows what those are. These are QR codes. Those Apple phones, they like those. So you can scan that, and it'll take you through that. And also, you all can use a text code to 41411. That's important. And you'll text right now, MCC Church, or MC Church, Mount Carroll Church, to that number, and you will receive the information you need to log on. But check out this video real quick that we've got for you. And then I'm going to pray and you'll be on your way. It's a lot longer than this, I guarantee you.
Welcome to our study of the Gospel of John.
I have fallen in love with the work of Paul as I've studied the book of 1 Corinthians, and I believe you will too.
This is where Jesus taught in Capernaum. And you have to understand this scene. The Lord is my shepherd. And over the next 6 weeks, we're going to look deeply into the 23rd Psalm. Right Now Media. It's for groups. It's for personal devotion. It's for parents. The bullseye of parenting is to raise children who become like Jesus. It's for kids. This is Phil. We're digging into the Bible, which, as we've mentioned, is more than just a book. It's for tough times.
So
So when you recognize that you're trying to have a conversation with your spouse and they're not ready to talk, it's not helpful to keep pressing
right.
them.
It's for every phase of life.
If you've made mistakes with money, you know what that makes you? Over 12.
And now, it's yours. We've purchased a Right Now Media subscription for everyone in our church. So check your inbox for the digital invitation and download the app for instant access to thousands of biblically based videos. Get equipped. Get inspired.
So this tool that we're going to put into your hands will help grow you in your faith and equip you to do incredible things with your life, especially in times like these. Our ability to meet together and do certain things has been limited and hampered from that standpoint. But we wanted to give you a tool that you can use to find the... I got this spot right over here on my back that itches, and Deanne knows exactly where that is, and so she sits there and once in a while scratch my back like this, and it drives me crazy, but she scratches right where I itch. But you all have different things, you know. One person showed the video to when they saw Dave Ramsey that she was like, ooh. Other people, Francis Chan, other people, there's hundreds and hundreds of tools there that you can put into your toolkit to help you grow in your faith right where you need to grow. And there's cool things there, like if you can find some people that are like-minded and wanting to go in this same direction, there's a cool feature on there that you all can click on this button and you create a little group and you guys can walk through it together through your computers right where you're at. You can be in each other's living room, and I know that sounds creepy, but in each other's living room studying the Word of God together through this platform. So please take advantage of it. It's yours. It's a gift to you from the church because we want to see you grow in your faith and to use that to reach other people with the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So check your emails. If you didn't get one because you didn't sign up or you're not on the prayer chain email list, see, we only had 77 people really get sent out invitations this week. But if you need to sign up on a list, make sure you get us your email and we can get you added and we'll get you this gift as well. So let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for your word because it tells us of your plan. It tells of us of our need, and it tells us the answer. And his name is Jesus. And part of your plan is that we would grow and mature in our faith and become more like him. And I just ask that this morning, that as we put this incredible tool in the hands of your people, that they would dig into it, explore it, find the things that meet the need that you've got in their life right now, and they would find answers to questions, and they would take those answers with them because someone else needs to hear the truth too. So, Lord, we ask that you would equip us and send us and use us effectively to spread the good news of your kingdom, which is all about Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Have a great week, folks. We will see you next Sunday. So stay out of trouble.